Welcome to The Father's Heart with Tom Clark, better known as Papa Tom.
Good morning. This is Papa Tom of Father's Heart Talk Show, and we're here again with TJ Storment, and he has related to us his journey athletically, and we want to shift a little bit and talk about TJ's journey spiritually. And the principle that I'd like to take out of Scripture is that many of the things that happened in Jesus' life, who I actually like to call Yeshua's life, was on the way. If you look at things from Scripture, the big miracles that happened in his life, when he was going to Jerusalem, was going to Capernaum, was going to different places, it was on the way that the woman touched his robe and energy left him. It was on the way that he met Jairus. It's on the way that he met the centurion. All these things happened on the way. So it was an experience that TJ was last recounting to us about describing when he was up in Canada, and he was with in the Canadian Football League, which he really didn't want to go to because it was humiliating to him to do that in one sense, because that's what he was feeling. Yet God used him there on the way to a game that was he stops off at a coffee shop, and he met a woman and actually led her to the Lord in that coffee shop. And he began to realize that his role in life was not his identity. His calling and destiny is different than his identity. And so he began to see and to realize, as all of us should come to see and realize, that our calling and destinies in life are not our role. There's one thing for the role, but our calling and destiny is different. And we talked about last time the difference between a dreamer and someone who carries a dream. And TJ is someone who carries a dream. I had a similar experience, actually, in my own life with one of my sons who was out of work for a long period of time and would not take a menial job because it was demeaning to him. He was used to getting paid a lot of money, and he was very successful at what he was doing, and he kept trying to get those jobs for an extended period of time, and finally realized that he needed to bite the bullet, and as humbling as it was, he took a menial job at Lowe's, just for a minimum wage. And this was something that he was only able to do that when he disassociated his identity from the role that he was playing. So with that in mind, TJ, tell us about your spiritual journey and how God actually led you through some experiences that the world would consider, and you had considered, humiliating, yet God used that in a positive way.
Right. Yeah, I think Paul is a tent maker, right? Paul made tents, and that gave him the ability to witness to, some of these, Olympic-style athletes, all these different officers, and, before you know it, he's writing all these letters to these hundreds of different churches that he's planted because God used a tent maker to grow his ministry. And, it's just a reflection of who we are and the God that we serve, and that it does not matter our circumstance at all, right? And I think for me, I was very fortunate to accept Christ when I was 9. So I was always the kid who was able to grow up spiritually and just kind of be the dorky Christian kid, right, if you will. And I've never had a drink of alcohol. I've never done any tobacco product or drug. And
you were goody-goody two-shoes.
I was. I waited till marriage. I did a lot of things that were really uncool. I never really struggled watching pornography and any
like
of that kind
Tim
of stuff.
Tim Tebow.
Yeah, very comparable. He was a quarterback, so he got to do a little bit more. he's a little cooler than I am. But yeah, man, and that's just how God uses us, man. And that's what he was able to do for me. And I think that, all these different college teams, all these different pro teams, end up getting back from Canada, going to the XFL. I was able to be a first-round pick in the XFL draft and then go in and play for the DC Defenders. I wish it would have been a first-round pick in the NFL draft, but instead I got XFL. It's just there's different levels to it. But that's
still you were first round.
Right. And that's no signing bonus for the XFL, unfortunately. So I got a hat in the mail. That's what it was. A hat in the mail, and I got
a very large hat.
The Rock mentioned me on Twitter. That's I would have rather had the money probably, but that was just the situation we had. And I got in there and ended up leaving training camp to get married, came back after the wedding, was able to start right tackle. I was playing left tackle, came back from the wedding. They said, hey, we're going to move you to right tackle. Turns out the guy that was playing right tackle had met with the coaches while I was gone and asked if he could go over there. And so it was, you know, another situation that wasn't necessarily something I was, you know, fired up about. I'd never played right tackle before. And ended up going in, was able to plant an athlete's Bible study. Reggie Barlow was the DC Defenders head coach. He's a believer, strong guy, and, you know, his coaches and athletes, which was something I'd never been a part of. You know, generally FCA or Athletes in Action, you have like a coach's Bible study that they meet with, you know, the teacher. And then the athlete's Bible study is a completely separate entity. And, you know, this was a bunch of guys who had either been former coaches or players in the NFL, and they'd all been either fired or cut, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we all had that kind of mutual bonding, and it was a really, really cool group. And I end up having some things go wrong. I get a staph infection under my arm. I have to miss a game. I end up having – there was a staff employee, a lady who, you know, I'm not going to disparage her or speak down on or anything, but me and her didn't see eye to eye on some stuff. She was kind of trying to oversee the Bible study and, you know, some things that I didn't necessarily agree with, and I was a little prideful. You know, I probably should have been a little nicer and just magnified Jesus more instead of kind of fighting back. But me and her got into it a little bit and then, you know, start a game, play, you know, what I feel like is one of my better games of the year, week three. And then I come in the office the next morning and I've been traded. I didn't even know you could get traded in the XFL. You know what I mean? But here I was, God sending me somewhere else. Call my agent. I'm like, you'll never guess what's happened. I'm going somewhere else again, you know? So I got traded to the Orlando Guardians. But the cool thing about the XFL was everybody lived in Dallas. So we just commuted to the games. So, like, all eight teams in the league lived in the hub in Dallas. We'd practice, and then we'd all fly to the games. It was a very weird deal that you would share a plane with who you were playing. That was something
Playing against.
It was a very odd.
The enemy,
yeah. Very, very weird. Something I'd never experienced before. You know, Texas Tech, TCU, you know, you got, like, your private chartered plane. You walk in, they hand you a sandwich. You get on the plane, skip security, all that. It's very nice, very easy. But for this one, the home team was in the front of the plane and the away team was in the back of the plane. So, like, I remember one of my first games with DC, like, we beat the Seattle Sea Dragons was a team. And, like, our guys were in, like, the back with these speakers, like, just playing this loud music, like, yelling at the team in front. It was very, like, and the air marshal had to, like, step in. It was incredibly silly. And I'm like, what are we doing, guys? This is, you know, it's minor league football at its finest. And, you know, I was a part of it, and it was a lot of fun. And end up going to Orlando, who, you know, DC was undefeated when I got traded. So we were 4-0. I got traded to the 0-4 team. So not exactly how you draw it up. The head coach, Coach Buckley, he was a Florida State guy and had played first-round pick, played in the league a long time. He kind of pulled me aside. He's like, look, man, I know we're more excited to have you than you are to have us. He was like, I get that's a situation. I was like, look, man, I'm just here to do what I can for this team. And, you know, I'm here to get people to Jesus. And that's what I told him. And that was kind of our first conversation. And he ended up introducing me to his FCA guy who did, like, the team chapels before in Orlando. And he's a really good guy. And I was actually about to teach the next week because the FCA leader was having a heart surgery. He was an older guy. And we're going to that game Saturday. We're playing DC, so the team that just traded me. So, of course, if there's a game for me to circle and get fired up to play, it's going to be that one. And we get in there. I'm playing really good. In the second quarter, I kind of jump set a guy, and then I kind of feel my shoulder tug a little bit, but, you know, it's nothing crazy. Then the very next play, I run at the linebacker to block him, and then I just hear a loud pop. And then, you know, I've been very fortunate. God's, you know, been incredibly awesome in the fact that I've been protected my entire athletic career and never had, like, a major injury that kept me out more than a few weeks. But I looked down, and my bicep had rolled up, and it was hanging down here. So I knew, hey, that's probably not going to be good. So I ended up coming out, and I tore my bicep right there. But we ended up winning the game, so it was fun. So I always tell people, I'd tear it again to beat DC again, you know, whatever it was. But it was fun. But looking back, I mean, that was just part of it. You know, and so that ended. That was around 3 weeks before the NFL minicamp started back. So the plan, you know, for every kid that was playing the XFL is to get some new game tape, get into the minicamp, and get back in the NFL and kind of play football that entire year. So obviously for me, I'd been kind of building for 6 months again, and here it was, another step back, right? And now I'm just now getting healthy, you know, 7-8 months later today from where I was. And, you know, we're still waiting for the opportunity that could have came a year ago if I'd have been healthy. You know, don't know for sure that it would have came, but, you know, we were pretty confident. And so that just kind of shows, right? Like, God needed us to kind of step back and look, and here we are now, right? Will I get another opportunity to play football? I think so. But I'm also at peace knowing I've given everything I have, you know, and so God's used me in a lot of places, and it's been a lot of fun.
In your spiritual journey that God has taken you through, which you've been to many different cities, many different teams, you've met relationally many different people, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. You had the coaches, you had the players.
Sure.
Can you think of a story that you would like to relate to the our audience about some athlete or just person, doesn't have to be an athlete, some person you met on the way that was not a believer and he became a believer as a result of you having some interaction with him?
Yeah, I think that there's been a lot of people that are that have had similar situations that I've been able to kind of just magnify a light to. And, you know, and it's not me, right? It's just Jesus working, you know, through my life. And it's been an incredible blessing. You know, I'm just as sinful as everybody else. I got plenty of issues to work on. And, you know, I'm working on them every day. You know, I'm trying to be a better husband, trying to be a better man of Christ, and trying to be a better teammate, you know. But I think, to give a specific example, I think Old Dominion is always the easiest just because the most time has passed. You've been able to see the seeds that were planted flourish, right?
Right.
And there was, you know, 30, 40 athletes we had in there on a weekly basis. And there was one, really two examples stick out. There's one guy named O'Shane Zimenez who is still with the Giants. And he and I were never super close because, I mean, I was the offensive tackle. He was a defensive end. I was a scout team guy. He was a starter draft pick, right? He was just, I was the guy he beat up. And so, but I was also running this Bible study. And so I remember he just randomly texted me. The Bible study had been going like a year. I'd never seen him there, but he's like, hey, man, can we meet? And so we met up and he just wanted to learn about scripture. He was just hungry. And, you know, we were able to study it together and pour into him. And, you know, when the Giants brought me in after Baltimore cut me, he was there and he just gave me a big hug. And it was really cool to see him. I hadn't seen the guy in 6 years. I'd been on this kind of college journey going through all this. And first thing he does, come up and give me a hug, tell me he appreciates me. And, you know, a guy like that, there's another guy that was a very similar situation that had been to the Bible study a few times. There was a running back named Keyshawn Strong. And, you know, I didn't know him super well, but we'd had some of the same finance classes. So we'd occasionally talk about school or stuff like that. And then I end up transferring and, you know, a bunch of people text me. A lot of people don't text you. Some people unfollow you on social media. They'll block you, stuff like that. And that's just kind of the industry of college football. And Keyshawn texted me probably 3 weeks after I left. And he's like, hey, man, you know, I know you're gone now, but I just want to say you opened my eyes spiritually to some things I'd never considered before. And, you know, I really feel like I owe you a lot. And I just want to say thank you. Mm-hmm. And just the kind of guys like that that are behind the scenes, right? You'll see the people that accept Christ and profess through baptism. You know, there's a lot of people that have had that opportunity, and that's cool. But the people that you kind of don't know that it worked out that way, right? Like where you plant the seed and then you get to see it flourish even years later, right? Like Jared, the Wave Church pastor, came and he was kind of using the example of some people who were in that original Bible study were like leaders on his church staff now.
Yeah.
And that they weren't even believers in Jesus before that happened. Right. So it's just really cool to see stuff like that.
Well, it's interesting because I think one day when we do get into a heavenly place, we're going to find and meet people that we didn't even realize we met and had an effect on their lives that was very quiet in terms of the earth, but in heavenly places. We'll be back in a moment with T.J. Stormant, and we'll continue our conversation. We're back with T.J. Stormant, and we're discussing with him the people that he's met in his life that were the unsung heroes or the people that you never would have known. We could sit here and talk about famous people, famous athletes who are Christians and famous athletes that people have seen on the TV and they can recognize. But when we live our lives, how many people whose lives that we touched that we didn't realize consciously that we touched them? They were the unsung, the unseen. We were not conscious about them. One day when we get to heaven, they'll come up to us and say, hey, TJ, remember when you did this? And TJ had no conscious recollection of it, but it was something that he did by the words that he spoke or by his actions, the way he lived his life, were examples to people that drew them into wanting to have a hunger to experience the love that God has for them. Because that was the question I've actually, in the break that I asked TJ, what did he feel was the reason why that motivated people to come to a Bible study, to come to an FCA meeting? So open up that question to you, TJ.
Right. I think, you know, you're the only Bible a lot of people may ever read, right? You know, Christ says that, you know, Scripture says that Christ is revealed to everyone at least once in their lifetime. Everyone has the opportunity to accept Christ and get saved. There's no doubt about that. You know, you look at stories of people, you know, far deep in the Amazon rainforest, and God reveals to them in a vision, and they walk 10 miles and they're at the one church that's within a 100-mile radius. And like, there's countless stories of that. You know, people can say, oh, it's a fairy tale. No, like, there's books, there's many like factual evidences, just like there are to support Jesus, you know. But I think there's also kind of a, you know, it's a double-edged sword as part too, because you're going to be outcasted by the world if you live a certain lifestyle, right? We're also told in scripture we're going to be enemies of the world. So for me, that meant, you know, if I'm hanging out with some guys who are, you know, like there was a big O-line masterminds is like a big offensive line thing where a lot of the pro NFL guys and some of the top college guys get to fly to Dallas, and there's like this big seminar kind of deal. And I remember there's like a lot of people that know me, whether it's there in college or other places, where like they're not going to be comfortable going out with me. Like they're not going to want to go to a bar and be in a place with me, and because they're going to feel convicted about drinking. And it's, you know, just a very thing that, you know, kind of makes you feel bad as a believer, right? Because it's like, no, like, you know, Jesus drank wine, have a drink, it's all good. But they know that I don't drink, so it's going to make them feel conviction. So they'd rather either not hang out with me, or they'd rather do something that doesn't involve that. And so it's kind of just like a, you know, a non, like you don't even know you're doing that at the time. It's a nonverbal. You don't even know you're doing that, right? Like, you know, everybody would try to convince me to go out. They're like, oh, if we win the game, you got to come out with us. But then I'd be out with them, and then they'd realize how it's not fun anymore. You know what I mean? And so kind of dealing with that's part of it for sure.
How do you define fun, though?
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, I can have fun in a lot of different places. And I think that that just shows that, you know, storing up treasure here on earth ain't gonna reap anything that lasts, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, about 40 years ago, 40 years ago, the Lord told me he didn't want me to drink alcohol. And I remember specifically the event it was in a shower, and I started arguing with him that it wasn't sin, that I could drink alcohol, it wasn't sin. Sure. And God said to me, I didn't say it was sin. I said, well, Paul told Timothy to take a wine for his stomach, so it must be good for you. And the Lord said, well, I didn't say that wine wasn't good for your stomach.
Right.
And I gave him the third thing. I kept arguing with him. I said, well, if it's not sin and it's not bad for you, it's good for you, why do you not want me to drink?
Yeah.
You know what his answer was? For the sake of the people I put in your life.
Right.
For you.
How did arguing with God work out for you? Is that a successful venture? Doesn't work out for me anytime I try to do it.
Well, he told me, and this is what pierced my heart. He says, because of your father. Right. Was an alcoholic. Your wife was an alcoholic. And for the sake of your children, before I even had them.
Yep.
Right? And I said, oh, okay. If that's what you want me to
it's
do.
It's a very similar boat for me. You know, like the dad struggled with alcoholism a little bit before he accepted Christ. His dad still struggles with addiction today. I know there's a long lineage of alcoholism in my family.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm a competitor and I have those same addictive personalities. You know, like I'll pick something up and I'll be all in on it for a video game or golf or whatever I'm doing for, you know, a month, and then it's on to the next thing. Like I know I have those traits. And so just kind of managing it can be a challenge. You know, Paul also talks about, right, if something causes another brother to stumble, even if it's not causing you to stumble, do away with it. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it. You know, and that's for alcohol. It can be for watching movies to have, you know, sexual references and stuff like that can lead somebody to go watch porn or anything like that. And there's just all kinds of different ways, because it's just sin is so visible on earth, right? Like there's all these, you know, normal ways that sin is accepted now that, you know, even 500 years ago would have been like death penalty. You know, it's just crazy. And I'm not saying people deserve to die.
100 years ago, 50
years ago. Yeah, 100 years ago, right, yeah. And it's just showing that, you know, the just casual sin in society has infiltrated so many different avenues that it's just easily, it's just accepted, you know. And at some point you got to say, you know, I can't do this anymore. You got to delete Instagram from your phone. You got to take certain steps of these things and these bad habits that are breaking you, you know, TikTok, stuff like that. You're talking about TikTok on the Solbro episode. There's just different dangers now where it's, you know, sex, lust, alcoholism, all of these different things. Like you got to run from them. You can't just leave them there, because if they're in the room, right, don't let the enemy at your door, right? Very famous book. You know, evangelist Ken Freeman kind of put me on that one. And you can't give the opportunity for sin to enter, because if you do, the enemy is going to take a foothold and he's going to use it to abuse you, you know, and that's why you got to keep that healthy distance.
I don't think people really understand sin in my conversations with them. They think that God is very, very upset with our sin and that he kind of dislike us or hate us and don't love us anymore because we sin. That's not anything the case according to Scripture. God always loves us. And he's not so upset about the sin in the sense that it harms him, because it doesn't harm him at all. Our sin doesn't harm God. Our sin harms ourselves. And so as a loving father, right, he doesn't want us to sin because he doesn't want to be us to become in bondage to the enemy. The enemy wants us to sin so he can control us.
Yeah.
God wants us to be free. That's the way he created us. He gave us free will. He wants us to be free. He wants to be free of sin. And so when we fall into the temptation, if you will, of sin, we fall into the trap that the enemy puts out there for us to try to control us. Ever since the Garden of Eden, we've always been in a situation where Adam lost dominion to Satan, and Satan is trying to push us underneath himself, and he gets control over us and our behavior through sin. Sin puts us into bondage to something. You mentioned, a whole half dozen of them. There's probably hundreds of different things that we could be in bondage to, that he uses it, but he uses it for that purpose to do that, to put us underneath his control. And God wants us to be free. He wants his children to be free. It's his love for us that wants us to be free of sin. And when a child begins to realize, when they get to be teenagers, a lot of times the temptation is, I want to drink because I want to have fun. We used that word before. Right. I want to have fun. I want to have sex because I want to have fun. So these things are thrown out on the table or presented to people that you can have fun, you want to enjoy. Why would you avoid sex? Why would you avoid drinking? Why would you enjoy all these things that we can have to have fun? But we don't realize that they're just traps laid out there for us that are set to entrap us into a bondage that causes us to follow a lifestyle that is not healthy for us and not healthy for our relationships with other people. It's not healthy for our relationship with God. It interferes with that relationship. And in that relationship we have with God, he wants us to be totally free of everything. That's why even money would be something, for example. There's nothing wrong with money, but Scripture clearly tells us the love of money, right, is the root of all evil. Why? Because the love of money is a trap. The love of money, people can fall into a bondage to the love of money, and they'll do things for the love of money that they wouldn't normally do otherwise. And so each one of these things that laid out there is a trap for to get us away and to damage basically our life in some way. And it's, I think churches, for example, I find it's so wrapped up around people committing sin, and they don't realize that it's, if a person gets reestablished with a connection with God, and they get connected back to the Father and the Father's love for them, they realize that people do things the right way out of a love that they have, or they're feeling the love that God has for them.
Right.
They don't have to be into this bondage. You don't have to drink. In my particular case, I chose not to drink because God wanted me to love people in my life.
And I mean, the church wants, Jesus wants people that drink. Jesus wants people that do any of these kinds of things that, some churches may shut the door on people for, and that's a big issue. There's a lot of really bad churches. There's a lot of churches that don't invite people in because of how they look, what they wear, who they are. And, Jesus wants everyone. That doesn't mean that we accept the sin. It means that we invite them to get to know Jesus and flee from that sin, just like we do every day. Neither one of us are going to go out here and live a perfect day today. We're both probably going to sin a few times. Like, that's part of being human. We're flawed. And, it just reminds me of a little story. I'll try to be fast, but what's today? So 2 days ago, I was going to buy a sauna, and we just closed on the house. I wanted to get a sauna. I want to get a cold tub. I'm big on recovery with my training, and it just makes me feel good. Like, I got in the cold tub right before I came over here, and just kind of woke me up, got me ready to go. But there's this guy way east North Carolina. It's like 2.5 hours, almost to Pinehurst, somewhere I'd never been before, which is pretty rare for me in North Carolina. And got over there, and it's like up on top of a mountain. The guy's got this huge woodworking shop. He's a carpenter, and he was telling me, like, we just start hanging out. I'm looking at buying a sauna, but of course I see, like, you know, he's searching. And so we start talking about Jesus. Like, yeah, no, I actually recently accepted Christ a while ago. And he kind of talks to me about how there was some random guy that approached him. And, like, he's like, it was like God spoke to me. And he was like, you know, my daughter had just passed away prematurely. He said, I'd blown my finger off doing some kind of carpenter work. And, you know, it was like this guy knew all that had already happened. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's awesome. And then I told him, and he was like, I'm trying to figure out what to do now. I said, well, yeah, you got your testimony now. Now you go tell other people. You go do what that guy just did to you. You know, it's the Great Commission. You go get out to work. And he was just like, wow, like that's, you know, what I needed. And, you know, I was like, yeah, it's not me. That's, I mean, it's what scripture. And we read some scripture. And it's like, he's like, I just didn't really know all that. And he's like, I've been needing something to do. And I need to go tell people about Jesus. I was like, yeah, man, that's what we're here for. You know, so it was good.
So how can people get in touch with you?
Shoot me an email, TJ at Superb Spirit. You can add me on social media. My Instagram's at TJStorm72. Feel free to reach out anytime. You know, I'm
TJ Storm or TJ Stormet?
TJStorm72 is my Instagram. My email is TJ@SuperbSpirit.com. So it's spelled like TJ@SuperbSpirit.com. Yeah, I'm getting to preach a lot more now. So happy to preach anywhere. Happy to do anything I can to help grow the kingdom. And, you know, if you want to work with us business-wise, give me a shout too. So
good.
Yep.
Thank you, TJ, for being here.
Thanks, guys.